It's good to see everyone here gathered this morning for prayer and reflection. And the phrase that I've heard so often these past few weeks is, "When you pray, move your feet." And I know that folks gathered here aren't only coming to pray and sit, but we're also moving our feet. So thank you for being here. I do come this morning with two blessings and some thoughts of mine in between. Our chaplains here at HCMC respond to every stabilization room case. So that is every person who arrives at our emergency room with more critical care needs, such as a car accident, a heart attack, strokes, and gunshot wounds. We are present with awake patients who might be afraid, offering prayer before the medication takes effect, offering a hand to hold for a painful procedure, sitting with families awaiting updates from the medical team. And so the first blessing I bring today is called "For When Our Thoughts and Prayers Are Not Enough" by Kate Bowler. I sent this to my team the Friday after our hospital experienced two mass casualty incidents in 2 days, including annunciation. This world, impossible, unthinkable. We are brought to our knees, God. Today there is no true north. And when I last checked, the sun did not rise at all. Today the innocent still suffer, teachers still risk their lives, and families still grieve. A world has ended without any reasonable fanfare, and we are sold the fantasy that nothing can be done. Help us to know what to feel, rage, grief, sorrow, and what to do. Advocate, protest, lament. Blessed are we who let reality in, though our bodies shudder. Blessed are we who ask and wait and ask again for the courage to change our culture, whose laws and complicity subsidize death. God, give us hope that seems hard to find. And I don't know how it feels for each of you, but it seems as though every time I find my hope, or every time we collectively find our hope, something sweeps it back out from under us. Earlier this week, members of my team who were present in supporting children and families from Annunciation spoke about the sensation of both moving and feeling through jello. That we're still showing up, we're still doing our work, but we're maybe seeing a few fewer families than we would have a month ago. That we're still sad and grieving and angry and broken and frustrated, but it feels a little farther away. It feels a little stickier. We're moving more slowly, and we both know that's a normal response to what has happened in our community, that it will get better as time moves on. And we also know the work is not yet done. The work is not yet done repairing the building at Annunciation. The work is not yet done for the children tending to their physical wounds, dressing changes, follow-up appointments, medications. The work is not yet done for families attending to their psychological wounds, conversations we don't know how to have, therapy appointments that can be hard to get, taking steps to return to whatever the new normal is. And the work is not yet done for the helpers. I went to Annunciation one evening last week and spent some time reflecting what it might have felt like for the first folks to enter the building, what they might have seen. And as my route home would have been the route that the ambulances drove to get to both children's and this hospital. And I thought about that, what that drive felt like. How fast were they able to go at that time of day in traffic? Were people getting out of the way? How were the folks in the ambulances comforting one another? So I think about those first responders from fire departments and police departments and EMS departments. And I think about the doctors and nurses and techs in the emergency room, for the surgeons and for the providers still caring for these children and their families. And for the folks on this meeting who again are praying and moving their feet. In my tradition, what's known as the greatest commandment is first to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. To do that, it implies we are loving and caring for ourselves, that I am loving and caring for myself, that I too get to slow down, to pause. It almost feels cliche to share the airplane instructions of put your oxygen mask on before others. But it's so true, right? If I'm too broken, then I can't show up. I can't truly be present. If I'm too exhausted, how am I able to do this work God is calling me to? And that's what brings me to the second blessing, called For the One Who is Exhausted by John O'Donohue. When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic, time takes on the strain until it breaks. Then all the unattended stress falls in on the mind like an endless increasing weight. The light in the mind becomes dim. Things you could take in your stride before now become laborsome events of will. Weariness invades your spirit. Gravity begins falling inside you, dragging down every bone. The tide you never valued has gone out, and you are marooned on unsure ground. Something within you has closed down, and you cannot push yourself back to life. You have been forced to enter empty time. The desire that drove you has relinquished. There is nothing else to do now but rest and patiently learn to receive the self you have forsaken in the race of days. At first, your thinking will darken and sadness take over like listless weather. The flow of unwept tears will frighten you. You have traveled too fast over false ground, and now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rushed through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. Stay clear of those vexed in spirit. Learn to linger around someone of ease who feels they have all the time in the world. Gradually, you will return to yourself, having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells far within slow time. And I'll close with that blessing reminding me of Mr. Rogers' words to look for the helpers, to look for those little miracles, to look for the parents who are still changing those dressings, to look for the nurses and doctors still caring for the patients in the hospital and those who have to follow up appointments. When you see an EMS person out on the street, say thank you. When you see someone who looks like they're having a hard time, look at them. Ask if they need something. We can see the helpers and we can be the helpers. Thank you.